Welcome to the January 24th, 2010 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Preoccupation with the Periphery. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you to College Park. We're so glad that you are in worship this morning. I want you to take just a moment to look around you on either side and just tell your neighbor you are glad that they are here. Go. Okay, now talk to your other neighbor. Where are you taking me to lunch? Go. I'm not your neighbor. I'm not your neighbor. All right. Nobody asked me where I'm wanting to go to lunch. That's okay. That's all right. We welcome you to College Park. We want to find out who is in worship today. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We'd like for members and guests, if you could take that, write your name, any contact information that you want to give us, and then check the appropriate boxes. That helps us find out who is in worship today. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. Members, as it comes back by you, if there's a guest on your pew, just find their name and introduce yourself at the end of the service. And we do ask, once the pew pad gets back to the first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used and so that our ushers can get those at the end of the service, that would be very, very helpful. A reminder for our children, we are having children's celebration today. That's when during the second hymn, hymn number 396, all the children will head out these doors to Smith Hall, which is right down the steps. We will be in there for our children's church, what we call children's celebration. Our juniors and seniors have been working on that and looking forward to our children being together. And we ask the parents if you could pick your children up in Smith Hall at the end of the service. That would be very helpful. Let's see. Raymond.
Good morning. Hope everyone is well. We were laughing over here saying it's a beautiful day for ducks, but it's also a good day to be in God's house for worship, isn't it? We appreciate the rain. We appreciate everything that God sends our way, and He has also sent our way an opportunity. And we are going to pursue that, and we need your help with that if you would like to be a part of it. Beginning February 7th. February 7th is the day that, if you've seen the signs around, talked about beginning our emphasis on Fearless. It is also the launch date for a new service at 9 o'clock, and the name of that service will be Recreation. This is a service that's being planned by our young adults, basically geared toward our young adults. I mean, it's planned by them for their peers and young families, and I know that you'll be in prayer for that. Many of you have said that you are already in prayer for that, and we appreciate that. But we also have an opportunity for you to extend the word, to tell people about it. You'll find little people. One person said it looks like a football. It's not really supposed to be a football. It's supposed to be an oval. But anyway, we have these ovals, these footballs, and the larger footballs out at the information center. If you'd like to pick one of those up and take them to your place of employment or a community bulletin board, maybe a place that you eat that allows people to post things about community events, we'd love for you to take one of those and post it on the bulletin board. There's not a lot of information on there. You may go, well, it doesn't tell where, it doesn't tell when, it doesn't tell any of that. That is by design. What we're wanting to do is basically direct people to the website. And the audience that we're, or the target we're kind of looking toward is very much a web-based and get most of their information from websites. So that is our lone objective with this publicity material, is to get people to the website so they can find out all the information there. There's also a stack there of what we call tip cards. You can take these and place them on bulletin boards, or if you go out to eat and you would like to leave this, please leave it with a tip. don't stiff them on the tip and then leave this. Please leave this. That sends all the wrong messages. So if you would, leave these with your tip, and that gets information out about our upcoming recreation service. Again, it begins on February the 7th. It will be a 9 o'clock service. And with that in consideration, as I announced last week, our Sunday school, I think, will be starting at 9:45. 9:45 Sunday school start, and then we'll gather here and worship kind of about the same time, 10:45, and begin worship probably about 5 minutes or so till the hour. So please be in prayer about all that's going on, a lot in the life of our church, but it's exciting, and we covet your prayers and your help with getting the word out. Thank you.
Also, with the Fearless, there will be small group studies that go with that. That will be available. Those sign-up sheets will be available this week, I believe. Is that right? There will be small group discussion times for the Fearless material that we'll be covering. So there are many opportunities for the Fearless study that we'll be doing. Reminder, we've been collecting rice and water since the earthquake in Haiti. We now have a time for that to be loaded. That will be tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. That's the deadline to have all the rice and the water in, and we'll start loading here at the church at 4:30. So if you want to take note of that. Reminder, too, we have our regular schedule for tonight and into this week. So make sure you check out the opportunities for the week. Youth schedule is back on today. Reminder, to parents of young children, babies through elementary school, we have a special discussion group that's going to start on February 3rd. This is Wednesday night, February 3rd. We're going to be studying the five love languages of children. Dr. Gary Chapman, who's written lots of five love languages books, has written one specifically about children. And we're going to start this study on February the 3rd. That'll take place in the coffee house, which is in the building to my right in the basement. That'll start at 6:30 on February 3rd, and will happen every Wednesday for about 12 weeks. And the books are available for $10 in the church office. The books are not necessary to go through the discussion, but you are welcome to just come when you're able. It's a great time of fellowship and learning together, five love languages of children. Also, primary basketball began this past Thursday night. We will continue this Thursday at 6:30 to 7:30. This is for four-year-olds through third grade. We have a great time together. Lots of energy is sent out, and lots of basketball is played. And so it's a great time together. Boys, girls, 4 years old through third grade, every Thursday night through the end of February. Let's see. Any other announcements that we have? Is that it? We want to say a very special welcome to our guests now. You have given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pad, and we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest with us, all we ask you to do is just to raise your hand right where you are as they come back down the aisles now. If you're a guest, they want to give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church, and a little bit of the story of College Park. So we are so excited that you are here, and we are thankful that we get to worship together. It is time for us to worship in spirit and truth. Let us prepare for what God wants to do in us and through us this day. pray with me? Our Father, it is truly a gift for us to be together. And many times we don't take advantage of the gift that you give to us. Our minds are so many other directions. But I pray now that you would come into this place, focus our attention, because when you are here and we recognize your presence, everything else falls away. Come into this house of worship. Be glorified. May we sing majesty all day long. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture text for this morning comes first in the Old Testament, in the book of Zechariah, in the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 1. I'll be reading the first 10 verses of Zechariah chapter 7. If you do not have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From Zechariah 7, beginning in verse 1. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev. The people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regemmelech together with their men to entreat the Lord. By asking the priests of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets, should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. Ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Are these not the words the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and prosperous, and the Negev and the western foothills were settled? And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. And from the New Testament, in the book of James, in the second chapter of James, beginning at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for your holy word and the scripture that means so much to us. Scripture that guides us, instructs us, comforts us, challenges us, and keeps us. Helps us in our relationship with you. Helps us to understand more about you and your love and your promises and all that you have done to be so faithful to our ancestors throughout all of history. Lord, for these lessons that sometimes are simple and sometimes are complex, we thank you. Because a good word and a challenging word from these scriptures is something that most of the time we always need. Lord, as we are in your house today, gathered as a people who believe in you, we sit here, as you well know, Lord, with many things on our heart, many things on our minds. You have searched us and you know us, Lord. You know our strengths. You know our weaknesses. You know the things that we're doing to honor you. And you know the areas that we are struggling in and we are less faithful. Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would continue to strengthen each one of us. Continue to show us your grace and mercy and your love that are just incredible. They abide with us and they support us every day of our lives. We are nothing without you. And we need you, Lord, because we can be weak and we can struggle. And our hearts and minds suffer often. Please, Lord, grant us strength. Grant us grace. Thank you for not giving up on us, Lord. Continue to be faithful to us. Help us to meet you and to not run from you, but walk toward you, run toward you, so that we may experience the fullness and the incredible nature of your love and your presence and a relationship with you that can help us be who you created us to be. Lord, help us to live out these scriptures and to believe and to do. And just like we can help these friends in Christ in Haiti who are hurting so deeply physically right now and spiritually, help us to help our neighbor. Show us opportunities around us this week, today, tomorrow, the days ahead, to help, to show others the love of Christ so that they may understand that there's something awesome and powerful that's available to them through a relationship with you. Use us, Lord, in any way that you can, in our strength and also in our weakness. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing through us individually. Thank you for what you're doing for this church. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray together, please. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can come together in love for fellowship with you. Help us to put aside the business of the week and all the things that demand our attention so that we can focus solely on your love and grace and worship you. You continue to bless us through this fellowship, and we thank you for the many opportunities that you give for us to serve and honor you. And we thank you for this opportunity to share our blessings with you and return to you what you have so freely given to us in the form of our tithes and offerings and gifts. Be with us and guide us and direct us, for it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
In Luke chapter 3, we read about the baptism of Jesus. We read how the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon Jesus in preparation for his time of ministry and public ministry. And today, our gospel lesson actually comes from Luke chapter 4. But before we kind of dig into that, we need to back up just a little bit and understand God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came upon Jesus and prepared him for ministry, but also carried him into ministry. And Luke begins retelling the story of Jesus' life and ministry. And as he does so, at the beginning of chapter 4, he tells about the temptation of Jesus. Now, most of us have probably heard this story, how Jesus goes out into the wilderness. We presume that it was the Judean wilderness, which for me, I find that kind of interesting. You may not, but the Essene community at Qumran was also, we think, in the Judean wilderness. So it's interesting that Jesus was being tempted in a place that was so desolate, it was so barren, supposedly, but yet at the same time, a community grew up there which faithfully recorded the scriptures. The Dead Sea Scrolls and other writings were attributed to this community at Qumran. So, you know, at the same time you have temptation and appears to be desolate and nothing there. And on the other aspect, you have this vibrant community of faith that kind of grows up in that area. So that's a little bit of the juxtaposition, the interesting things about the Holy Land. But the temptation takes place, and Jesus comes back in from that. And Luke tells us that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which was with Jesus, and allowed him to resist the temptation in the wilderness confrontation. And that same Holy Spirit carries him out of the wilderness, strengthening him after he had given him the strength to resist what would have surely have been only temporary fame and fortune had he succumbed to the temptation. That Spirit carried him through that temptation and brings him out of the wilderness into a time where he begins a public ministry. And it picks up in Luke chapter 4. I invite you to take your Bible again. Read with me. I'll be kind of coming in and out of the scripture there, reading a couple different portions from that. But beginning now with Luke chapter 4 in verse 14. And this is follow-up to the temptation. Okay, so that's where we begin. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So the Spirit of God is still filling Jesus, and it leads him into Galilee. It's an unspecified province there. It doesn't say exactly where. It just says Jesus returned to Galilee. So he kind of goes back into this area. We know it was not his hometown that he went to at this point. Some have said, well, maybe it was Cana. Maybe, you know, he returned to Cana. Maybe it's Magdala, which was the home of Mary Magdalene. Maybe it was there. Maybe it was Capernaum. We don't know. What we do know from Scripture is that while he was not seeking praise for himself, that much is obvious. Because if there's one thing we learn through the record of the temptation, is the fact that Jesus was not in it for himself. So when he returns to Galilee, he's not in it for himself. What we do know is that the people of Galilee liked what they saw. Because it says in verse 15, everyone liked him. Everyone praised him. Another translation says he was praised by all. Maybe he had kind of picked up a couple of preaching stints in the local synagogues. We don't know. We don't know exactly what the extent of his ministry was at this point, but we know that the people praised him. They recognized him as someone worthy of praise, which is interesting. Pick up the next verse, verse 16. So there he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus goes back to Nazareth in Galilee. It was his hometown. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath where he was asked to read from one of the prophets. The assumption in my mind and many scholars is that someone had already read from the Torah. That was kind of the tradition. They read from the Torah, then there was a reading from the prophets. So he stands up to read. Now, verse 16 is an interesting verse. Look at that with me. Verse 16 says, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue. As was his custom. Another translation says, as usual. Now, teenagers, what does as usual mean? As usual. It's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? It means what it is. As usual, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, I've heard the questions, I've heard the objection. People say, well, you know, I don't really have to go to church on Sunday. You know, I can worship God under a tree. You know, I can sit and behold the beauty of God and worship. Of course, I do that all the time, don't you? When you see the beauty of creation, don't you praise God? That is personal time of worship and adoration between you and the Creator who made you, right? So you can do that. I've got no problem with that. And I recognize that there are people, granted, who I'm sure are much more spiritual and much more intelligent than Jesus. But my model for ministry, my model for personal living, is to do like he did in so much as possible. Amen? And Scripture tells us, as usual, as was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He went to worship his God. Jesus, in doing so, began reading. And as he read, what happened is, basically, he tied himself to Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, which is what the passage that he read there in verses 18 and following. That is Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And he ties himself to this passage in several ways. To begin with, he owned the presence. The presence of the Spirit of God was on him, just as the writer says the Spirit of God was upon him. So literally, this is kind of a perfect segue into a further unfolding of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is committing himself. He's telling the people there, this is what my ministry is going to be about. This is what I'm going to do. I am going to minister to the people that society cast out. I'm going to reach the down and outers. I'm going to reach the people that society says we don't have time or energy for. That's what I'm going to do. It must have actually been a pretty dramatic scene if you think about it. Here's the hometown boy. Here's the son of Mary and Joseph. Hi, he's such a cute boy. God, he's grown up. Can you just? It was a wonderful homecoming, I'm sure. So here he was. The same town that he had been away from, and now he comes back. They're so proud of him. They're so proud that it's kind of like when I go home to Dana, you know, it's like, oh, why don't you stand up and read scripture for? Why don't you pray? You know, we're glad you're back home. And that's a beautiful thing. So he stands up and he reads from Isaiah. Now, some commentators have stated that probably not many carpenters could read on top of their woodworking skills. If they were a carpenter, they did woodworking. They probably couldn't read. And while that may be true, I suspect that every Jewish boy who could read was taught to read using the scripture. So Jesus stands and he reads. Then he rolls the scroll back up and he sits down. And Luke tells us that every eye in the house was fixed on Jesus. What would he say next? What was he going to do next? That's a teaser to get you back next week, because we'll find out more of what he did. But this week, we have another part of Luke's message to consider. Because here was Jesus. He must have been weary coming out of the desert, yet refreshed. Teenagers, it's like when you go to fall retreat. When you come back on Sunday afternoon, you're absolutely exhausted because you had maybe 3 hours sleep total for the weekend, right? You're exhausted physically, maybe even a little bit exhausted emotionally, but spiritually, where are you? Yeah, way up here. Way up here. So although physically and emotionally perhaps drained, he had never been more alive spiritually as he goes into this setting. He had a very clear-cut notion of what God was leading him to do in his life of ministry. The Spirit of God was upon him, surely as the Spirit of God was on the writer of Isaiah. Indeed. Because who else? Who thinks the poor and the marginalized are important unless he or she looks at things as much as possible from God's perspective? Isaiah. Isaiah undoubtedly believed that it was God's people as a whole, not merely himself, but God's people as a whole who were called to ministry, called to minister to those that these brief sentences outline. And Jesus, as part of, as was usual, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He was part of the community of God's people. So he internalized that. He embraced what Isaiah had written. So do we? Do we embrace that? Do we internalize what Isaiah wrote? Do we internalize what Jesus read and lived his life by? If we want to follow Jesus' example, we have to embrace some of his goals in ministry. Let's look at them. Look at them in first person, present tense, and see what it says. First of all, God's Spirit anoints us to bring good news to the poor. Now, that means more than just turkeys for the hungry at Thanksgiving and toys for tots at Christmas time, right? It means all aspects of ministry. It means rice and water for the people of Haiti. It means personal security in terms of their living, their physical safety for the people of our community. It means feeding the hungry in our community. It means daily ministry for the poor and those who need it. That's what it means for us. Second of all, God sends us to proclaim the release of the captives. Now, this is not just talking about prison ministry. We have an active, through our Baptist men, we have an active prison ministry. But it's also talking about those who are captives to circumstances that don't necessarily land you up in legal prison, but maybe are prisons of your own creation, whether they be financial, whether they be society's prisons that capture you. Release of the captives. Third, God sends us to proclaim also recovery of the sight to the blind. Who is going to grant sight to the blind? Who is capable of that? Well, it depends on what we mean when we say blindness. Are we talking about physical blindness? Perhaps. But I think perhaps more what he's talking about is spiritual blindness. For those who don't get, they don't quite understand the magnitude of how much God loved us and loves us that he gave his son. Not just as cheap fire insurance, not get out of hell free card, but as a way of living, daily living with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Daily guiding us through the power of the Holy Spirit to do what Christ has shown us that needs to be done. As Jason read from James, faith without works surely is meaningless. Our faith is manifest in what we do. Fourth, God calls on us to do our part to free oppressed people. Which ones? Who is that? I've heard people write, that means we should stop having any role in being any part of oppressing people who harvest our coffee or cocoa beans or mine our diamonds and things like that. Well, maybe. Or how do we know that the difference between what is oppression in our Western minds and what is gainful employment in the minds of people who are just given any chance to support their families? Who's oppressed? It's a tough moral question, but it's the one we need to struggle with. Because if we're going to free the people who are oppressed, we got to figure out first who's really oppressed. And it may not be the people we think. And then fifth, God sends us to proclaim one more thing. The year of the Lord's favor. What does that mean? The year of the Lord's favor. Yeah, if we knew what that meant, we'd agree to it as long as it didn't interfere with our bailing out Wall Street crooks, right? What is the year of the Lord's favor? To be clear, this one item is the list, and this list kind of encapsulates all the others. It's a summation of Jesus' mandate for ministry. Because you see, it's connected with the idea of the Jubilee year. Those who were hearing it knew exactly what he was talking about. Let me explain it. In the Jubilee year, the debts of the poor were forgiven. All of them. All prisoners were released from prisons. All of them. And all property was returned to its original owners. Jesus, by proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, is uprooting social convention. Now, granted, it's not that the Jews really had the power to do this under Roman domination, but the point is, Jesus is saying this is not a once in every 50 year message. It is a model for ministry. It is at the very core of all present tense proclamation, and it is the basis for faith in action. Well, at first, the hometown crowd was kind of proud of their boy, just as the folks in Galilee had been. Next week, we're going to find out that their pride didn't last very long. But for today, there's a calm before the feathers get ruffled up too badly. And we reflect on what Jesus has taught us. And as I reflected on it, I thought, wow. Mother Teresa and Father Damien had it right, didn't they? Now, most of you probably know about Mother Teresa. You may know less about Father Damien. Father Damien, when he died, was praised from all around the world for his work with lepers in Hawaii. But there was one man, Reverend Dr. Hyde. That really was his name. Dr. Hyde, Reverend Dr. Hyde, who claimed, based on gossip, go figure, based on gossip and what he claimed to be personal knowledge of someone who had lived near Damien in his last earthly days. And Hyde declared that Damien was an immoral, lying fake, in as many words. And in strong defense of Father Damien came an unbelievable defense from the writer Robert Louis Stevenson. It was in rebuttal of what Dr. Hyde had written. It was published in London in 1890, and the response was quite lengthy. But I want to give you 2 points of Robert Louis Stevenson's rebuttal of the Reverend Dr. Hyde. The first one is this. Damien was coarse. He writes, "It's very possible. You make us sorry for the lepers who had only a coarse old peasant for their friend and their father. But you, who are so refined, why were you not there to cheer them with the lights of culture? Or may I remind you that we have some reason to doubt that John the Baptist was genteel." Damien was dirty. He was. Think of the poor lepers annoyed with this dirty, dear comrade. But the clean Dr. Hyde was at his food in a fine house. You see, so many times we're like the fine Reverend Hyde, sitting back in our filthy, rich, spoiled circumstances, in our country club mentality, which says we welcome all as long as you dress like us and look like us and smell like us, passing down judgment on those who dare to get dirty in ministry. May God forgive us when we're so preoccupied with the periphery, when we're so preoccupied with the things that really just don't matter, to the extent that we neglect the things that Jesus reminded us really do matter. Father, help us. Let's pray together. Dear Father, it's hard to hear the words from Isaiah as read by your son. It's hard to hear them, but it's even tougher to try to apply them, because we are selfish by nature. We do like what we're accustomed to. We do get comfortable in the things that really don't matter. Father, trouble our spirit. Teach us through these words, through your scripture this morning. Teach us and help us to make the changes that are necessary to apply this scripture to our life. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit for correction and for strength and for courage to be what you've created us to be. Father, we say we love you, and in our hearts we do, but sometimes in our actions we deny that. Help our actions to line up with the Spirit that's within us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As we've worshiped together this morning, I hope that you have gained a renewed sense of who God is and who God wants you to be. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know this one who was sent by God as your Redeemer, as your Savior, I want to encourage you this morning as we stand and sing in just a moment. And I think we're singing, "Let Your Hearts Be Broken." That is indeed my prayer. Let your heart be broken. Let Jesus come into your heart and life and lead you. And by God's Spirit, He will lead you. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'd rather not come this morning but want to contact me or one of the staff this week, be glad to talk with you about how you can have that relationship. If you're here this morning and maybe you're saying, "Raymond, I'm right there with you. I understand what it means to be so preoccupied with the periphery that I've lost my focus." You know, this is a time that we can set the record straight, get back to God's own heart. And as we stand and sing, you can certainly pray where you are and connect with God and get back on track. If you'd like to come pray here, you're welcome to do so. We'll have some prayer warriors. I think that'll be moving as we begin the invitation. You're welcome to come and pray here at the front. I'll be glad to pray with you, talk with you if that's what you would like. But whatever your decision is, perhaps you maybe are here and you want to be a part of this fellowship. It's a wonderful group of people. We're not perfect. But we love God and we want to serve God, and we would gladly serve alongside of you if that's what your heart's desire is. Come, let me know. There's many ways that we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about it. But whatever your decision is that you have to make, I challenge you, look at the words that you're singing and let that be your prayer as we stand and sing together now. Thanks for being here today. I hope that you will greet each other as you leave from here. Pray for one another this week. Encourage one another. Take the opportunity to call or to write and encourage one another as we walk together in the Lord's path. Would you pray with me now as we depart? Dear Father, be with us. Guide us. Give us your strength. Father, we pray that we'd be faithful in all that we say and do to give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.